On Tuesday, the Dalai Lama, the head of the Gelug sect of Tibetan Buddhism, turned 75. He was forced to flee Tibet in 1959 in the early years of China's occupation, and he's been a thorn in China's side ever since. There seems to be no end to the struggle, at least while the current Dalai Lama still lives. And on his birthday this week, he noted that he was in good health and could well live another 30 years. That means another 30 years of disastrous public relations for China. As we noted in the next report, first aired in 2007, the Dalai Lama has evolved as a media manager over the years. The affable spiritual leader always seems to extend an olive branch to China that he must know will always be rejected.
Although we prefer direct communication with Chinese government, Chinese leaders, we haven't found proper opportunity.
Born in a poor farming village in 1935, he was two when he was identified as the 14th incarnation of the Dalai Lama, Tibet's spiritual leader and head of state. In 1959, he was on the run, living in India. Robert Thurman, now a professor at Columbia University, studied with him there and became the first American ordained as a Tibetan monk.
To me, he was like a really nice young guy, a little nervous and very sweet and friendly. He didn't bowl me over with his sort of superstardom.
He launched his perpetual tour in 1967. He's since met with many thousands of ordinary people, presidents, prime ministers, patriarchs, and popes. He's been on Time's list of the world's 100 most influential people. He's won the Nobel Peace Prize. He's been savaged by Christopher Hitchens. It doesn't get better than that. What's his PR secret?
You know, people ask me often, like, who manages the Dalai Lama's PR and who's his PR firm and all this. And he's never had one. And in fact, sometimes they've been offered pro bono by different PR firms. And his people and himself have always declined because they don't want to be packaged without their own long-term understanding. They want to control their own image.
All he really wants is to get a simple message out about compassion and Tibet. But public relations isn't simple in such a complicated world.
He was on Larry King a bunch of times about 5-6 years ago, and he turned down some other programs. I won't mention names and not to embarrass them, but, you know, that have a 50 million audience instead of 1.2 million audience.
That program was Oprah's.
Tibetans, you know, they come from high altitude, you know, they climb mountains and things, and they herd yaks. And they're very self-reliant.
But, I mean, how self-reliant can you be in New York if you don't know the difference between Larry King and Oprah Winfrey?
I don't know. That's what we say sometimes.
Some of the Dalai Lama's public relations problems are far less innocuous. In 1998, he acknowledged that his administration in exile took money from the CIA in the 1960s, that the country he briefly ruled condoned what amounted to serfdom. He was accused of speaking out of both sides of his mouth on the issue of homosexuality, and he's friends with Richard Gere.
But somehow there seems to be this bounce-back quality to the Dalai Lama, a sort of Teflon thing, that these things just seem to add to his glow somehow.
Robert Barnett is a lecturer in Tibetan studies at Columbia University.
And he doesn't seem to get pulled down by even the slightly more difficult figures like the Steven Seagal, that film star who got declared by one Tibetan Lama to be himself the reincarnation of a 17th century Tibetan Buddhist teacher.
You and I were the same.
There's a difference, my man. You have faith.
I don't.
For real?
For real, yeah. And this really seemed to be the limit of credibility. I mean, a huge number of Buddhists were shocked and horrified by that. And the Dalai Lama carefully distanced himself from that. He seems to have survived it.
There's an old and durable aphorism about media that they love to build those heroes up and then take them down. How come he hasn't been taken down?
I don't know. I have to admit that I'm one of the people who said, you know, 20 years ago, it wouldn't last, you know, and I'm wrong. So I shouldn't be making guesses here.
Maybe it's that particular element in Tibetan Buddhism that seems to bestow enlightenment at random, even on Steven Seagal?
So there is a great appeal to that you don't know where these great lamas are going to appear.
Donald Lopez is a professor of Buddhist and Tibetan studies at the University of Michigan.
It could be in Tibet. It could be in California. Anybody's child, at least hypothetically, could be the incarnation of a great lama.
I'm nothing special. I'm just like you.
But maybe we just love the way he combines modernity and tradition, the spiritual with the commercial, literally. Robert Barnett.
He did a series of advertisements once, wasn't it, for Apple computers, which was big as well. You see, where he places himself in front of the modern and in front of the fashionable, all the things that he would appear not to be.
Or maybe we love that movie stars follow in his wake.
Buddhism always caught on first in the royal court.
After all, says Donald Lopez, celebrities are our royalty.
The aristocracy, the nobility, who find Buddhism somehow interesting. And so when people complain, as they often do, that Buddhism seems to be kind of a celebrity religion and all of the Richard Gere and Sharon Stone and so forth are devotees of the Dalai Lama and somehow take offense at that, I think they're missing a larger historical perspective.
And then there are the movies about him or his native land, Bernardo Bertolucci's Little Buddha with Keanu Reeves, 7 Years in Tibet with Brad Pitt, and especially Martin Scorsese's Kundun with actual relatives of the Dalai Lama.
Holiness, the Chinese have moved their camp. The Oracle's route is safe for us now. We must go.
Yes.
Sanctuary has been arranged in India. They're expecting you.
Kundun helped give Tibet an identity distinct from so many other oppressed minorities. Before the current crop of films, there was only 1937's Lost Horizon by Frank Capra, whose Tibet was Shangri-La, pretty much an Oriental Brigadoon.
Tibet always was the empty space on the map.
Robert Barnett.
Not just in Western accounts, even in the first millennium in Arabic accounts, Tibet was being described in this way as the empty space. That really was the space on which people could project fantasies. I think that he's taken that Tibet that's played that role in history and turned it into a sort of personal Tibet. He's now a walking empty space that travels around in which we can place some of those fantasies and actually go and listen to him. And he's humorous and immediate and very tangible. And it seems to be a sort of Tibet that's come alive, even though Tibet, the country, has disappeared.
Barnett believes it's empty space that forms the basis of the Dalai Lama's appeal, the reason why his constituency can range and change from Indian conservatives to American hippies.
What I mean is that the Dalai Lama, in his general talks, is presenting a kind of philosophy and a kind of approach to life that is really not marked by anything in particular. It's almost featureless. It's just an idea of compassion, treating people well.
Compassion is important because more compassionate mental attitude there, you can see everything more better, more clearly.
It's classically what media people talk about when they try to find neutral terminology, something that could be open to almost anyone who listens to it. My guess is that that's what's made this happen. And I should add one thing. He has received enormous help constantly from the Chinese authorities.
That's the capper. That's what makes Dalai Lama mania so enduring. Aside from his profoundly appealing message of peace and love, of course, you couldn't buy a better foe than the People's Republic of China.
They just constantly repeat the kind of propaganda dream of attacking him again and again. It's a bit like a Rottweiler savaging a puppy. They make him look more and more docile every time they bare their teeth.
I have nothing to offer, just to listen, to learn myself.
The Dalai Lama is 75. China's best chance for winning the PR war may just be waiting for him to pass away. But since we're talking about someone who's forever reborn, it could be a very long wait.
So, that's all. Thank you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.